tired at this point in the semester? Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of that happening right now. Is it okay if I just start out, we'll say a quick prayer for that thing, for being tired? We'll get started. Pray with me. God, thank you for tonight. We just look forward to meeting with you here, and thank you for your presence with us. And I pray for all of us who are just tired mentally and emotionally and spiritually, physically, that we can come to you and find the rest that we need. I pray that you would help us to fix our eyes on you and to find everything that we need in you. And I just pray that you will be with us here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. My name's Mallory. I realized that some of you I've had the opportunity to get to know quite well, and there's a lot of you that I haven't yet, and you don't really know me. And I was thinking that when I hear someone talking and speaking, I like to know a little bit about them. So I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to ask me three questions about anything, and I'll answer them. To give you, oh no, Jen's doing her like, I'm going to get you laugh. I'm going to give you a couple minutes to think about it. I'll give you a little bit of just basics about me. I first came to Ashland in 2002, right after I graduated high school. Thank you, all you people born in the 90s. And went to the college here and studied psychology and religion, and then I did some missions, ended up coming back and going to seminary down the road. And now I work here in the Center of Religious Life and in the Study Abroad office. So that's where you might know me from. Okay, who's got questions? Oh, geez. Is this a tag team question?
Oh, yeah. What's your social security number?
Oh. 555. Five, five. Next. I'm not all about identity theft. Oh. Chip, shout it out, man. Good question. I live with that crazy, really scary guy. Is that V for Vendetta costume going on? Our church, Five Sons Community Church, has a community house in town. It's over on Sandusky Street, and there's 13 of us that live there, and it's awesome, and it's a circus, all of the things. I have lots of stories. Yes? My most embarrassing moment? Ah. And here's what's funny. There's like 10 things that come to mind immediately because I make a fool of myself regularly. I'm going to say I was on a mission trip and we were together for 11 months and it was like month two. So I'm still trying to make like a good impression with everyone. And we're actually in Peru and there's all of my guy friends. I have all these guy friends. There's like 8 or 10 of them, and we're like tight, and it's going really well. And I realized that we all shared this one bathroom, and I go to use the bathroom, and then I come out, and I don't realize for like a solid 5 minutes, I'm like talking to them and moving around, that my dress is stuck in my underwear. Yeah, that happened to me. And then God bless my guy friends. They had to be like, ah, Mallory. There's something I have to tell you that you're not going to recover from easily. So, it's true. I didn't look any of them in the eye for the rest of the month. But good question. I did not prepare for that. Very good. Okay. We are in a series here at The Well about minor characters with major impact. And, okay, so we're going to be in the New Testament tonight. And if you're reading through the New Testament, and you're after the Gospels, so let's say you're reading through Acts and all the letters, there's going to be one person in particular, other than Jesus, that you're going to hear a lot about and from. Who knows who that person is? Paul, the Apostle Paul, that's right. So Acts is really kind of following his missionary journeys as he's working to basically start the early church. And so we're looking in that story, but it's called Minor Characters with Major Impact, so we're not talking about Paul tonight. We're talking about someone named Apollos, and we're going to see what we can learn from him. So Apollos is mentioned by name 11 times in Scripture, several of those in passing. So several times Paul is saying, myself and my co-worker Apollos. There are really two passages where we really get to learn a little bit about him. Those are Acts 18 and 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to start in Acts 18. I'm going to start in verse 23, if you want to open there with me. It'll also be on the screen. And as I'm reading, take note of some observations that you can make about Apollos, because I'm going to ask you about it in a minute. This is all about interactive night at the well. Okay. Acts 18, 23. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, which was a city that was known for being a scholastic center and an intellectual center, he came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila, early church leaders, heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers, which is where the region where the town of Corinth and the church of Corinth was, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Okay, so what are some observations that we can make about Apollos? Shout them out. He was good. Yep, he served and was with fervor, boldness. What else? He was passionate about what he was doing. Yes. Anything else stand out to you as interesting? Say it again. He knew the scripture as well. He was teachable. Very good. We see that he needs to receive a little bit of help. I think there are a couple of things also that are interesting. We see it says that he knew only the baptism of John. So that's basically referring to the baptism of John the Baptist, which was a precursor to the baptism of Jesus. So that was like the next step that he was going to undertake to be a follower of Jesus and a leader in the church. And I really love the progression here, right? Because I can just picture this guy like teaching boldly, and he's out there and he's speaking and he's doing great. But also he gets pulled aside. And notice how they do this. They don't like rebuke him publicly and tell him he's doing a terrible job. They invite him over to dinner. Priscilla and Aquila invite him over to dinner and they say, let me explain to you the way of God more adequately. So apparently he was teaching about Jesus accurately, but there were some things that he could add to make his teaching better. And so I think what's so fascinating about Apollos is that he's bold, but he's also a person in progress. He doesn't have it all perfected. He doesn't have necessarily the answers to all the questions. So he is also receptive to their instruction. You can tell that he took what they said seriously, and because the next thing they do is they send him out. And they say, okay, go be a church leader in a place, actually, I'll talk about later, that really needs you. He uses his God-given gifts and his life experience. I think it's safe to say that Apollos has the gift of knowledge, which is just an ability to really kind of retain and process lots of information and knowledge about God, and a gift of teaching, since he seems to be doing it so well. And then he was also raised in an intellectual and a scholastic center. So he was always kind of surrounded with these things, which I think prepared him well. So he uses all of these things to talk to people about Jesus. And he contextualizes his approach, okay? So I don't know if you're thinking about anything like me as far as if I'm trying to be bold, does that mean I'm supposed to stand up in front of a whole lot of people and proclaim Jesus and, you know, refute their arguments and talk about how great Jesus is instead? And I want to say not necessarily. I don't think that's what being bold in your gifts has to look like. But that's what was happening with him at the time. That was the venue for talking about Jesus. So if anybody wanted to talk about religion or faith, they would go to public debate. So he used the venue that was in front of him to share about Jesus and was effective at it. So we have Apollos, who was bold. He was also a person in progress. He used his gifts, and he contextualized it to the setting that was in front of him. Now, if you're thinking, I don't know how, Mallory, this is supposed to apply to me. I'm not like a leader in the church or in necessarily even this Jesus movement that we call the Well. Maybe I haven't been through Eli training. I don't give announcements or lead worship. I'm never up front, so I'm not a leader. Well, I have a surprise for you, because we are all of us, every single one of us, called to lead and to boldly witness to the reality of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in him. If we're following him, then we're called to this. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that if you've been reconciled to God through Jesus, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You are a minister of reconciliation on this campus, with your family, in your sorority, on your sports team, at work. This is something that was just really on my heart as I was preparing and praying for this week. Stop disqualifying yourself, right? It is so easy for us to say, I'm not ready, I don't have the right words, I don't have the answers to the questions, I'm just not sure, I'm going to wait until some vague time off in the future when I feel more prepared. And I'm going to give you a secret, as someone who has had a lot of training in religion and experience, you never necessarily feel entirely prepared. You always feel a little bit like, okay, I'm just going to try and hope that it goes well. We'll come back to that. There is a quote that my best friend Carly really loves. It's from an author and missionary named Christine Kane. And she says, God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. So again, we don't get to say, I'm not good enough, or God can't use me, or my history disqualifies me from being used. He just calls us, and then he equips us to do what he's put in front of us to do, which is great news for us. So I wonder why we're so hesitant to talk about Jesus and what Jesus has done in our lives. I think part of it might be this kind of cultural thing where everybody says, keep to yourself. It's kind of like an affront to someone else to talk about things. Which is interesting and may or may not be true. There's a great quote by Francis of Assisi that says, preach the gospel at all times, when necessary, use words. Who's heard that before? Yeah, it's good. I like it a lot. We have a core value here at the Well called incarnational evangelism. And basically what that means is, just like Jesus showed us what God is like by becoming one of us and living with us, that is how we demonstrate Jesus to other people. We love people the way Jesus did. We listen. We sacrificially serve so that they can see what Jesus is like by looking at us. But I also think sometimes we actually need to use our words, and that's okay. So I got challenged a little bit this summer to do this. And again, I've put myself in a lot of situations that forced me out of my comfort zone to share my story with Jesus. I've just signed up for a lot of mission trips and stuff, and things at my church that kind of encourage this type of thing. And I still feel a little bit shaky when someone's like, share the gospel. I'm like, okay, Jesus and me, and then this great thing happened. So basically that's what happened when we went to South Africa. We go out in these teams with our friends who are South Africans, and people love to have us in their homes and just hear about us. So we would go and visit people and ask if we could serve them. And then we would sing a song in Zulu, and I would try. And then someone would go, now we're going to share the gospel with you. And so, again, even as a person with a lot of experience in this, when they asked me to do this, I stumbled a little bit, and I'm not even sure I said much that made sense, and it was a little bit backwards. But I knew where to start, which was, I was lost without God. And this is what he's done for me. And it was the easiest way to talk about it. So one of my favorite things that I got to watch in Africa was actually Kelly. There's Kelly. Hi, Kelly. Wave to everyone. She loves this. Kelly consistently, like, stepping out of her comfort zone to, like, talk to people about Jesus and to pray with people and things. But I might maybe misrepresenting the situation, because I'm not sure at first anyway she was really stepping out of her comfort zone as much as she was just being shoved. So basically, we would go around, and I got to go one day, and the AU people on my team, who was it? It was me and you, Jacob, and a couple other people. And basically what happened is Jacob was really bold. Jacob, in the back, was really bold to offer for Kelly to share the gospel, right? So they'd be like, who would like to lead us in Zulu worship? And Jacob would be like, Kelly would! And she'd turn a little bit red because that's being put on the spot. Who wants to share the gospel with us? Kelly's going to share the gospel. But I think that's really kind of helpful, right? Sometimes we need somebody to be like, just try it. So the moral of that story is, if you want to kind of practice stepping out in boldness, hang out with Jacob and he'll throw you under the bus. Let's look at our second passage in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Now this is a letter from Paul to the church in Corinth. Let's just summarize by saying that the church in Corinth right now is kind of a hot mess. They've got a lot going on. They have a lot of division. They have kind of rampant immorality. Nobody's really submitting to any authority, and it's just not going well. So this is what Paul has to say. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. So this is basically Paul saying, I'm going to need you to grow up a little bit. And I know this is when I have a really good friend in my life, when someone's willing to come up to me and be like, you're going to have to put your big girl pants on and, like, get over it or move on. So it's kind of this encouragement. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers with God in service. You are God's field and God's building. So Paul is making one thing very clear to the Corinthians. We are all on the same playing field, and we need each other. So each of you have unique role to play in God's ongoing, redeeming, life-giving, reconciling work in the world. And your work and my work is interconnected. I like this image, because what good is someone planting seeds if nobody ever waters it? And what good is me watering a whole bunch of soil that doesn't have any seeds in it? We all need to be contributing for this thing to work. And all the pressure kind of comes off us, because who makes things grow? Yeah, he's really clear about that. So we're called to be faithful and offering back to him the gifts that he's given us, but he's the one that's doing all the life-saving, reconciling, redeeming work. He does that miraculous stuff. I don't think it was necessarily a coincidence that Apollos was raised in the place that he was and given the gifts that he was given. And at the same time, there was a church that really needed a faithful teacher. I also don't necessarily think it's a coincidence that you were raised in the situation and you've had the life experiences you've had and you have the gifts that you have and you're placed on this campus with folks in your class or in your dorm or around you who have had difficult things happen in life or who feel like they're not worthy of God's love or feel like they have to perform to be good enough. And all of these things that you have something to speak into that. You uniquely have something to say to folks who need to hear it. I have these little, like, I have a little box of inspirational cards on my desk. It didn't really feel lame until I say it like that. And I'm like, ah, it's kind of like an inspirational calendar. But there are these little things. One day, Nate came and like started just throwing them at my face like ninja stars. In the principle of like, if you ignore it, they will stop is not true. Let me tell you, it's proven false for me. I got a paper cut on my face. I just want you guys to understand what kind of work environment I'm dealing with here. It's been kind of on this one for a while, and I can't seem to like move past it because it says the place you are in needs you today. And that kind of is summarizing a lot of what I'm finding in the scripture passages here. The place where you are needs you today. We need you to be using your unique gifts and your words to witness to the reality of Jesus Christ here. And all I'm asking you to do is try. You know, offer your gifts. Be a witness to what God is doing. And there's no pressure because God's the one at the end of the day that makes things grow and that does the work. It's God's work. He is the vine. We are the branches. The life comes from him. So we're called to participate and to sow seeds and to water them, to take everything that God has given us and pour it out as a sacrificial offering for others because that is what Jesus did. That's all I've got for us tonight. I have a prayer, and it's a blessing that I really love by an author that I like, and she's a blogger and a pastor. And if it's okay with you, I would like to bless everyone here with that tonight. So I'm going to invite the band to come back up, and I will pray for us. And if everybody can stand, I just feel like this is like a commissioning moment. I'm going to warn you, it's a little bit lengthy. So if something stands out to you, is significant to you, just hold on to that. Don't feel like you have to hear all of it. I'll put the whole thing up on the Well Facebook page tomorrow if you want to reread it later. But just listen for anything to kind of stand out to you. If you want, because I like to do this, you don't have to, you can take a posture of receiving if it helps you like focus in on what God has for you. God, we're so thankful for what you're doing on this campus and in our lives. We say yes to that. We submit to you and to the other leaders that we trust. And I ask that you would encourage our spirits tonight. So here's the blessing I have for you. Stand now, head up. You are loved, remember. You're loved and you're free. There's no shame here. I commission you in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. I commission you for the work of the gospel as a minister of Jesus Christ to live in your world as an ambassador of the kingdom. I commission you in the work of healing and serving and loving and reconciliation. You are an emissary of justice, and your work from now on is to put things right, to call out those things that are not as they will be. I call you to joy. I set you apart in your regular walking around life for the daily work of liberation and love. Proclaim the gospel with your hands and your feet and your voice to every soul in your care and influence. May your soul long for prayer in the scriptures. May you keep secrets. May you give away your money. May you share your meals. May you sit alone in silence outside under the sky and be satisfied. And be the voice of knowledge tempered with grace and wisdom. And may you never forget how to sing and be silly. May you make room in your life to be inconvenienced and put out. May you be Jesus with skin on for a few people. May you be fearless. I pray that no matter your tool or method, preaching, cooking, writing, organizing, teaching, building, all of your whole life encompassing it all, that you will walk in the knowledge of the sacredness and purpose of your calling. I pray for dreams and visions, for the active leading of the Holy Spirit, and I pray that you would never, ever, ever forget that Abba is very fond of you. I pray for perseverance and discipline. I pray for speech seasoned with salt and goodness. I pray that when you are bored and you are tired and you are discouraged, when you feel futile and small and ridiculous, I pray that you will never, never, never give up. Your ministry, your work begins now, and it began long ago, in your world. Turn around and face your life. This is it. You are a minister. Feel it. Say the words, roll them around in your teeth. You have been commissioned for the work of the gospel in Christ Jesus you have. I send you out. I send you out to the spot where you are right now. You are right where you belong. You have everything you need to begin, and we will walk it out together. Yeah, God, we thank you, and we commit ourselves to you and what you have in front of us. In Jesus' name.